Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the fifth chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5. And let us first sing from Psalter 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. All stanzas of Psalter 65.
Before we read from God's law, we shall read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined thine ear to them that instructed me, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we may be in the way of thy providence brought together again in this afternoon hour, round about thy everlasting word and testimony, that will stand when everything passes away, and then we read that thy word shall not pass away. And we may have that privilege, that we may hear that word Sabbath after Sabbath and read it for ourselves in our own homes. And when others are passed by, Lord, we ask of Thee Thy blessing in this Thy holy day, in this afternoon hour also. For Thou knowest our hearts and all that they are privy to. Oh, that Thou wouldst deliver us from all our sins, that Thou may grant the forgiveness thereof. But could it be also the turning away therefrom, that we may turn away from those heart sins, and that which so cleaves unto us, and because we are sinful creatures from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, and we can do nothing else except that Thou wouldst restrain us upon our way. Oh, that Thou may restrain us then in Thy mercy, in Thy common grace, but also may it be with Thy special grace, and that we may receive not only an outward restraint, but an inward renewal, a desire, and that we may be without sin, a grief, that we continue on in our sin, and that it may be our burden as we go over this world, and that it may be to the drawing out of Thy revelation of Thy only begotten Son, who is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, then there is not one of us that needs not to be washed therein, to be cleansed. We do not see it by nature. And even after received grace, so far as so often from that place of great need, wherein we come to an end of our own strength, and wherein Thou hearest the cry of the needy to save their souls when death draws nigh. O Thou knowest how to bring Thy children there. We ask it of Thee in this afternoon hour, and that Thou may open unto us Thy word, and that it may be for the breaking of hard and sinful hearts, for they are from our side as hard as that nether millstone. And then there is nothing in this life, in this world, no convincing words of men, and that are able to enter into that heart. But when Thou wilt shoot an arrow from Thy heavenly bow, then it shall enter within, and we shall cry out, "Carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded." Lord, make us also upright. Thou knowest the hypocrisy of our hearts. Thou knowest what is the show that we have before men. But Thou knowest the inmost secrets of our heart. There is nothing that is hid from Thee. Oh, that we also may be given to fight that warfare, and not only in our outward life, but may it be within the very thoughts and the intents and the desires of our hearts, that we may be turned in truth unto Thee. Oh, that we may desire as Thou dost, a truth in the inward parts. Then we shall see what a wicked man and woman, and what a wicked boy and girl that we are. Oh, wilt Thou grant us through tears of sorrow over all our wretchedness, over all our misery, and that we may desire to be delivered therefrom, that what Thou proclaimest in Thy holy word may in Thy time and moment become precious unto our soul. Oh, that we also are invited by Thee, whosoever will, let him come and take of that water of life freely. Lord, then it is so evident that we will not, for we will not have this man to reign over us, and we will not humble ourselves to acknowledge our iniquity. But when thou hast granted it in the midst of us, and may thou grant it more and more, and that there may be with that thief upon that cross, and that acknowledgement that says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, and that smiting upon the breast of that publican in the temple. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Then it shall be opened unto us what thou sayest in thy holy word, that there is no sinner too great. Then thou invitest without money and without price. Then thy servant says that he is the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, that it may be experienced also in the midst of us, because so thy name receives all the honor and all the glory. And so a wicked sinner is saved, and he is delivered from all his transgressions, and his heart and life are renewed by thee, and that he is coming into that warfare and strife of thy church militant, to mourn over sin and to desire, by times to lay down that body of sin and death, and to be rid of sin altogether, not only in the life, but also in the heart and in the mind. Oh, to be pure. Oh, to be holy. Oh, to be upright. Oh, to be made like unto thee. Lord, we beseech thee, remember us. Grant us such desires for the first time or by renewal, by the operation of thy Holy Spirit to young ones and to old ones, that we may flee from the ways of sin. Wilt thou look upon all the congregation? Thou knowest the needs, and they are many in all the trials, tribulations, afflictions of this life, of mind and of body. Wilt thou supply for the needy? There are those that have become old. Some are not able to come up with us this day, and because of the weather, Lord, that thou may remember them in their places. And wilt thou be with those that are in the nursing home and all that are cared for by others. Be with those that mourn, the widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that must go through this life alone. Wilt thou supply for all that are afflicted and sick, some with serious diseases in our community, those that are older, but also those that are young. And thou knowest all that transpires from day to day, and what takes place within their hearts. And the needs, Lord, they are so very great. But that thou may hear their cry, and that thou may supply for doctors and nurses and all that do care for them. Remember also the children, some also in our midst, that receive care from surgeons, from physicians, doctors and nurses. Thou knowest the needs of their bodies. Oh, that thou may remember them also. And wilt thou look upon them in the days of their youth, when they do experience already the consequences of our sin, and that their hearts may be broken by thee, and that they may need that great physician. Lord, wilt thou look upon all thy servants, help them in all their needs, the students and the teachers in the theological school, be on their right and on their left hand, and wilt thou supply for them day by day, for thou knowest all the cares, the concerns, but also the mountains that are by times before them. And thou art the great Zerubbabel, and thou art able to make them a plain, because thou art a surprising God. And when thou callest, then thou also will do it, Lord, that they may not have to do it, but that thou may do it for them, and that in thy own time thou may thrust them out, and that they may experience that thou art not a God afar off, but that thou art a God nearby. And wilt thou look upon us also, in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand when we must speak about the seventh commandment. Lord, wilt thou show us how to do this, that we may be able to do it in a wise way, and that thou may bring it in the hearts of each and every one of us, and that thou may open our eyes for our great wickedness, and grant us a heart to mourn and to turn, and wilt thou forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 359, stanzas 1 through 4. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards a useless watch maintain. 359, stanzas 1 through 4. congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for what can be found in Lord's Day 41, questions 108 and 109 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 41, question 108. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. So far, our Lord's Day. Accursed uncleanness. First, to be utterly detested with all our heart. Second, to be carefully watched against in all our life. Accursed uncleanness. First, to be utterly detested with all our heart. Second, to be carefully watched against in all our life. Congregation, I think one of the first things that we notice when we read these questions and answers of our fathers is the strength of their language. Then we read the word accursed, detest, gross sins, enticement. That is not because it is from our fathers, but it is because it is out of the Word of God. If you will, when you come home, read God's Word, we can find in Deuteronomy 27, that these kinds of sins that are dealing with the seventh commandment, that they are called by God Himself to be cursed. We can read that the Lord has commanded that that woman that was suspected in old time of sins against this commandment, and that she had to drink the bitter water that was cursed. And when she would drink that water, then the Lord would show whether or not these suspicions were reality or no. Accursed by God. What does that mean, to be cursed? To curse, that is to ask that the Lord would send His judgment, that the Lord would punish a person. Thus, when we read that something is accursed by God, then it is that the Lord Himself is declaring that these are sins that He Himself will not allow to go unpunished. The sins against the seventh commandment are sins which man often attempts to commit in what he thinks is secret. That is, however, only a testimony of our unbelief. That is, our unbelief in God, our unbelief in His existence, in His omniscience, in His omnipresence. There is no such thing as a perfectly secret place. Then it can be secret from man. But we read that Solomon says that the eyes of the Lord, they are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Often, we find that the Lord does not allow that these sins would even remain secret from men. David has tried to cover them before the eyes of men, but the Lord has said, "Thou didst this thing secretly, but I will do this thing," that is, to punish him before all Israel and before the sun. That is, and that these sins, by the punishment of the Lord, they are by times being declared unto all men. Oh, how many of us would like to have the sins of our heart written upon the wall that everyone may see. But when we are continuing in these sins in a special way against the seventh commandment, and then the Lord, He is very often bringing them in His own time and way out into the open. The Lord said to David, "I will raise up evil out of thine own house, and I will take of thy wives, and I will give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." Our fathers, they say that we must with all our hearts detest the same. Why? Because it is evident in the Word of God that the Lord Himself does detest these sins. The sins against the seventh commandment, they are often called uncleanness. Why? Because they do not only make us guilty, but they also make us polluted. Of course, every sin corrupts a man, but not all the same. Because the sins against the seventh commandment, in a very special way, do make a man polluted, filthy, corrupt. So it is in reality, but so it is also experienced in the life of men, of those that continue on in those sins. Thus, they are sins that ought to make us ashamed. They ought to make us ashamed even as our first parents were ashamed after sin came into the world, and that they were ashamed to stand naked before one another and before God. And indeed, in the beginning, in the life of a person, they are making him ashamed. But later on, when those sins are continuing, then it is the nature of those sins that man, he is becoming less and less ashamed, so that the sin of his heart, the Lord leaves him, as it were, to open it unto all men that are in this world. But whether man is ashamed or not, these sins, they make a person to be loathsome. Children, when you are coming into the house, and when you are filthy dirty, and then your mother will never allow you to sit like that at the table. What will she say to you? She will say, first you must get washed. First you must take a bath. And then you may come in our presence. And so that is now with these sins against that seventh commandment, that they are making a person to be loathsome. And that is not only before God, but that is also before his fellow man. Paul wrote to Corinthians, he says, be not deceived, for neither adulterers, nor idolaters, nor fornicators, nor effeminate, nor those who abuse themselves with mankind, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because in a special way, they are sins that the Lord he says that they are loathsome unto him. Why? Because of his own purity. Paul says further, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thus, the Lord has given also a way wherein a man may be cleansed from that pollution, from that corruption, which he is bringing upon himself by these sins against his seventh commandment. But without washing, then it is impossible, because God says that he is holy. All uncleanness is accursed of God, and therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same. It says that we must detest the same. What is that? To detest something. And then, not only to detest it, but our fathers say to detest it with all our heart, that is, with all our being, with everything that is within us, that there must be a detestation of it. The idols in old time, they were often served by the heathen, by the Gentiles, along with the sins that were against the seventh commandment, that there was very much uncleanness. And then we read that the Lord says, thou shalt not bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Thus the Lord says, not in thy house. Thus, it is when we detest something, thus to detest, to abhor, that is to reject, to detest even the very beginnings of something. That is to detest, to abhor everything that is connected to it. That is to detest and abhor everything that appears like it, that looks like it, everything that is tending toward it. The very beginnings that we know that they are ending up in that sin. Oh, to detest it, to abhor it, that is actually to embrace the other side. That is to embrace that which is perfectly pure. In every way, in our heart, in our life, that the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The seventh commandment, that is actually a protection of the divine institution of marriage as the Lord has given it even before the fall. That was an institution that was created so pure and that is in a certain way something that the Lord has upheld even to this moment, although that we see Satan, he is attempting to break it down in every way. And yet the purity of it, the Lord, He says that marriage is honorable in all and the bed that is undefiled. That was created so pure that the Lord, He has deemed that relation between a husband and his wife to be a fit picture of the relation between Christ and His church. Thus, the Lord has shown by an earthly example what the holy union is. There cannot be a closer union than that union between the natures of Christ in one person, because He has in one person joined together both the human nature and the divine nature. And one of the reasons that mediator, that Savior, had to be completely without sin was because that human nature that had to be joined into a union with the divine nature. And that divine nature that could not dwell with sin. That union that is now being pictured by the Lord in His Word, by that divine institution of holy matrimony. Thus, fathers and mothers, when there is a disunity between you as father and mother, that may be seen by your children, that is for them a very damaging thing. Because the Lord, He is giving a picture in you and in the relationship that you may have together of how that now is between Christ and His church. They say a child that he should not own a dog before that he has taken care of a plant and kept it alive for a whole year. That means that child, he must learn how to nurture that plant. We might say in our day that persons seeing that they are not able to remain together as a husband and a wife, they ought first to be attempting to care for a plant for a while. that is not only in a relationship that we care for the bodies of one another, but there is also a relationship itself that needs to be cared for, that needs to be tended to, because there is a relation which is picturing the relation between Christ and His church. And now it is in that relation that the Lord says that the bodies and the souls of His people, they are also temples of the Holy Ghost. That is, that the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling within His church. So, then how can that Spirit dwell there when there is a walking in the way of sin? Thus, the curse that is declared against everything that is defiling that union, that marriage union. And the Lord is commanding us that we are utterly abhorring, that we are utterly detesting everything that is working in any way against purity and against the upholding of that bond of holy matrimony. Thus we may examine in our hearts in this afternoon whether it is in our heart so strong as our fathers did lay it out in our Heidelberg Catechism, and as the Lord is declaring against it in His holy word, that the Lord, He calls it accursed, and that our fathers, they are saying that we must with all our heart detest these sins. And for that reason, then our fathers say, and we see that in our second thought, that these sins, they are to be carefully watched and guarded against in all our life. Not every sin is the same. Not in every person. Not from person to person. Everyone, he has his own bosom sins. Everyone has those sins which in a special way are a cleaving to him and to which he himself is cleaving. But in a general way, the temptation to adultery, that is a temptation that is much stronger than many other sins. And why? Well, because we have been created by the Lord with a very strong desire for intimacy. And why? That is for the procreation of man. That is, that the Lord would have that human race to be continuing. The Lord had decreed not only the creation, but the Lord has also decreed the fall. And after the fall, then there are many reasons that man desires not to have children. Because children are attended with many difficulties, that there are many afflictions, there are many hardships. Thus, it is in the wisdom of God that He has given that strong desire in man for that intimacy. But today, Solomon says that God has made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And men have come up with many inventions in order to separate the intimacy that is desired and the bringing forth of children. But congregation, this is sin. Because the Lord Himself has joined these two things together. And thus, they are things that ought not to be put asunder. This was the sin of Onan, who desired to separate those two things. And we read that the Lord slew him. Children, they are a gift of God. And though there are many hardships, though there are many trials of fathers and of mothers, the Lord, when we are walking in that way of obedience, He is meeting all those trials and afflictions with His help from above. The temptation to uncleanness is not the same as the temptation to other sins. It is not the same as the temptation, for example, to murder. It is not the same as the temptation to steal. It is not the same as the temptation to use that name of the Lord in vain. And why not? Because uncleanness, that is a perversion of a very strong desire that the Lord has created in us, that was created good, which we have made evil. And that is why this temptation is actually a very special temptation that is lying so very close to the flesh of a man, so that it is easier for a man to fall than it is for a man to stand, and that it is more common to fall than to stand. The nature of this temptation, that is also one of an increasing intensity, that is quickly overcoming every force of resistance that man is coming against it with. And therefore, when a man is joined in this battle against sin, then it is so necessary that he is gaining the victory over this sin very early. We can read of David when he was out of the land because of Saul, and that he has gone among the Philistines, that he went to destroy the enemies of the Lord. But we read that David, when he did this, he left neither man nor woman alive. And why not? Because it says that no one may tell on him. Well, you understand that when one would run to the rest of the Philistines, then immediately there are going to be more to help. Thus David, he had to stamp out that enemy immediately, so that there was no help for the forces that were going to come against him. And so we see is the warfare that is necessary against this sin. Our fathers, they speak about unchaste thoughts and desires. This is congregation where that this battle begins. That is in the thoughts and in the desires. Christ said, "Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Or if man, he could only win this battle at this juncture, then there would be no further sin. But congregation, how many seem never to be fighting this battle in the very beginning? Christ, he says that adulteries and fornications, they are proceeding out of the heart of a man. And he says, these are defiling the man. These are corrupting the man. These are polluting the man. How can that pure Spirit of God take up his abode in the heart of such a man that is filled with the lust of the flesh? How is in our heart? Thus do we utterly detest, do we utterly abhor, do we go over this world smiting upon our breast because of the evil, that sinful heart that is living within us? Because it is here in the heart that those first sins are committed. And it is here in the heart that those first sins are to be lamented, are to be watched against, and are to be resisted. Why? Well, lest there be a greater reason for lamentation, let us first sing the Psalter 57, 2 and 3. What man shall the hill of Jehovah ascend, and who in the place of his presence attend? The man of pure heart and of hands without stain, who swears not to falsehood nor loves what is vain, who swears not to falsehood nor loves what is vain. 2 and 3 of Psalter 57. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. John Bunyan, in his Holy War, he writes about five gates into man's soul. That is, eye gate, the ear gate, nose gate, the mouth gate, and the feel gate. The temptation, the enticement to the sins against the seventh commandment, they are coming especially into which gate, then you will all say they are coming especially into that eye gate. There is a man in the Bible, the Lord himself says that he is in a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Who was that man? Boys and girls, that was Job. Was he without sin? No. But that was a man at warfare with sin. Are you also at warfare with sin? Do you know what Job knew? He knew that sin that lived within his own heart. He knew the temptations that were coming into eye gate. And therefore, he set a soldier there. That is, he made, we read, a covenant with his eyes. Why, he says, then should I think upon a maid? Why should I look at her? Why should I think upon her? Thus Job knew the necessity of setting a sentry at eye gate so that every enemy to his soul that would try to enter through that eye gate, then that sentry would immediately close the gate, so that enemy was not able to enter there. Do we have a sentry there? If only David had a sentry there. When he was upon the top of his palace, or if only he had made then a covenant with his eyes, then he had not brought himself into such guilt, into such shame, and the people of the Lord into such shame. And then he would never have given occasion unto the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But it was in idleness. Oh, idleness is also a great enemy, especially for our youth, that David, he is allowing his eyes to wander, and that enemy to enter in through that eye gate. Whatever can entice men thereto. Or do we think that Bathsheba had no role in this? Congregation, why was it that she did appear so in a place where she could be seen? Or how is it with our ladies and girls? No, we will not begin with them. We will begin with the men. How is it with us men? Or do we need to walk around with shorts on and with sleeveless shirts on? What does the Lord say He says that we must be clothed because of sin. Girls, ladies. Oh, what about the modesty? What about the length of our dresses, of our skirts? What about the tightness of all these things? If we ask a question, can it be seen in our life that we detest in our heart everything that can entice to this sin? Because I believe that when we really detested it, and when we abhorred it in our hearts, then it will be seen evidently in our dress. Diabolus' attacks on that eye gate, they have not ceased. No, he has only increased them in a blind rage against young and old. Because he has succeeded in bringing these temptations even into the very homes of us churchgoers. That is a place that was designed by the Lord as a safe haven for our children. In the time of their tenderness, in the time of their vulnerability, that they may be in that safe haven where they would not be exposed to these awful, awful temptations. And we can see how Satan is in the last times loosed, that Satan is permitted to come even so very, very close, even to those who make a profession of the truth. Children, you are going to see, because that is the world that we live in, you are going to see sometimes terrible pictures that you should not see. And you are going to find out how wicked that your heart is. Because your eyes, they will be glued to that picture. Children, we want to warn you today. And it is a shame that we have to warn you. But we want to warn you today that you must close your eyes immediately. You must run away. You must flee away. Why? In the first place, because it is a terrible sin against God that God is punishing man for. In the second place, it is very, very dangerous to look at such pictures. Very dangerous. You don't understand it now, but you will understand it if the Lord gives you to live longer. Then you will understand that it is bringing great, great harm later on in our life. Young people, do not think lightly of this sin, of this evil. Do you know what makes us think lightly of it? That is ignorance. Ignorance. The Lord, He is bringing His judgments on this sin, especially that is in the ability to have a normal relationship one day in that holy bond of matrimony. If I could only bring you with me for a moment, and we could open the doors of so many homes where fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, they are weeping, weeping, weeping because of the consequences of this sin. Thus, Satan, he is working overtime that he may destroy that institution of marriage, which is the very foundation of the entire fabric of our society. He will bring everything to a complete destruction. Then he will bring everything into confusion. That is also what the Lord is calling this uncleanness in His holy word. He says it is confusion, confusing the very ordinances of the Lord. And what is the very basis of that confusion? That is this, that the Lord says that God, from the beginning, has made them male and female. This is the way the Lord has created men, male and female. That is His order. It is a beautiful order. God has brought unto Adam His wife. He has given a character to the man. He has given a character to the woman. And we are living in a world wherein Satan has succeeded to a large degree to overturn this very basic order that God has given. It is to the grief of each one of us when we see that law after law is passed, which makes it possible for Satan to bring together a man with a man and a woman with a woman. Thus, Satan, long before this has begun, that did not happen overnight. No, that has been happening over the last 50 years. That Satan has begun to attack this basic order of God. That is, that he has made them male and female, so that Satan would have a male to be made into a female, and a female to be made into a male. Oh, let us not contribute, because it is the doing of the devil. Let us not contribute to such confusion. Not when we take girls a job, because God has given to man a certain character, and God has given to the woman a certain character. Thus, there are tasks which very evidently belong to the man. There are tasks which evidently belong to the woman. Thus, let not us who have the word be contributors to this confusion between the male and the female. Let us not do it in our clothing, girls. No, wear a skirt, wear a dress. That is the symbol in our society. It is the mark of femininity. When a man would wear it, we would say loathsome. Why? It belongs to the woman. It is the most obvious mark we have. Let us not lose, congregation, such a battle. No, not within our own churches. The Bible speaks about many things. It speaks about a man having long hair, a woman having short hair, and then Paul says this should be a shame. But congregation, how does that world also come among us? Paul, he says the effeminate. What is effeminate? That is a man who will try to be like a woman. But does not Satan give us now so many choices in the clothing wherein men also among us may dress in the style of effeminacy with hairstyles in such ways, with clothing in such ways? What does the word mean? Effeminate, that means soft. Soft. That is like a woman. Oh, that our eyes may be open, because we detest homosexuality. Not the people, but the sin. And that is good. But there is also so much more. There is so much that is also connected to these things. And the Lord is commanding us not to confuse the genders. And therefore, let not the ideas of the world affect us, affect our children. We cannot easily turn them back. Oh, there is so much connected. But we see our time that quickly goes on. We want to mention something else, young people, because from time to time, then we hear that some of you have your own home. And we wonder sometimes why, and we acknowledge there can be good reasons. We hope that is not that you just want to come out from under your father and mother. Nevertheless, there is something else, and that is your girlfriend, is your boyfriend coming into that home so that you are there alone? That is a great temptation. The Apostle Paul, he says that we must abstain not only from all evil, but that we must also abstain from every appearance of evil. How is it in our dating, young people? The happiest couples on the day of marriage, they are those that have left the things of marriage for marriage. Congregation, we will close. The Lord Jesus in the garden said to his disciples, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch. We must watch. And we must not only watch for ourselves, but we must watch for one another. that we may be a help to one another. But let us never think that we can win this battle alone. Satan is strong. Our evil hearts are very, very wicked and deceitful above all things. No, we cannot do this alone. Watch and pray. Oh, that our knees may be bent, especially when we are young people. That our knees may be bent, that we may beseech the Lord, oh Lord, keep me. Watch over me and deliver me from all the temptations which are so near, which are so close to my heart. And if you fall, and when we fall, then it is that same power by which we can be forgiven. And it is that same power by which we can be washed. David says, "Wash me thoroughly from all mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou knowest our guilt. Thou knowest our pollution. Thou knowest our wickedness that is living in our hearts. O convert us unto Thee. Turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. But wilt Thou also keep us? Keep us as individuals. Keep us as families. Keep us as a congregation together. O grant us to walk uprightly. And wilt Thou wash and cleanse us from all our sins. Bring us safely to our places in this day. Give us thought and meditation upon Thee and upon Thy Word. And wilt Thou supply in the week to come. And help in the instruction in catechism and confession classes. Help each one of the teachers. Help the students. That they may be able to learn their questions. That they may be able to bring forth that which they have learned. And may Thou grant Thy blessing when we may gather together. And wilt Thou look upon us as a consistory. And we hope also to meet in this week. And wilt Thou grant us all that is necessary from above. And the labors that Thou hast placed upon us. We ask for Thy help, also each one in our places of labor in this world, in all the work of our hands, and the mothers also in their homes, the children at school, those that go to college, to university. Watch over and keep each one of us in Thy mercy. Help all that go to doctors, and to the hospitals also in this week. Be with those that travel for Jesus' sake. Amen. 141, 3 and 4. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. Let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 140. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.